بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we continue seeking knowledge, striving to gain an understanding in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. نتفقه في ديننا. We seek understanding and fiqh in our religion by the grace and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking to have understanding, an understanding that is coupled with action, and an understanding of al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the understanding and the knowledge of the legislative rulings, and the clarification of the halal and the haram. And beginning with that, the issues of the proper creed and the proper belief, and likewise the clarification of that which is contrary to that. Because the one who has this light and he obtains this understanding and applies it sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, then this knowledge of these legislative rulings will be a means to direct him and to guide him to every good and virtuous creed and belief and action, and every upright and noble manner and conduct. And likewise, this knowledge, the knowledge of al-ahkam al-shar'iyya, the legislative rulings and regulations, commandments and prohibitions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who learns this knowledge and applies it sincerely, it will be a means to prohibit him from every foul and evil way. And it will be a means to stop him and prohibit him from every lowly and despicable manner and conduct. And it will be a guide for him and a light for him. And likewise, from the greatest signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he wants good for that individual. And like this, it has been narrated by Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man yuridillahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi ddeen," that whoever Allah wants good for, he will grant him understanding in the deen. Any understanding in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal, the understanding of a tawheed, the understanding of a shahadatain first and foremost, and the understanding of the obligation of the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that he has commanded to believe in, the obligation of understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the only one who is worthy of worship, and the clarification of that tawheed. And likewise, the understanding that he only accepts the worship that is done sincerely for him, and for him alone subhanahu wa ta'ala, and hoping for his reward and his pleasure alone, and according to his legislation, and according to the sunnah of his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, whoever Allah wants good for, he'll give him understanding in the deen. This hadith is mutafiqun alayhi. He'll give him understanding in the deen. And the Salaf, they did not used to refer to this word, al-fiqh fi al-deen, understanding in the deen, except they intended by way of that, al-ilmu al-maqroonu bil-amal, the action that, or the knowledge that is coupled with action, the knowledge that is coupled with action. And from the greatest knowledge and the greatest sign that Allah wants good for the servant is that one will have concern and show great care for learning the proper creed and al-aqidah al-sahihah, and likewise learning everything that is contrary to that, and learning everything that would negate that, or that will cause deficiency to come to that, and or that would harm that, and that tawheed and the aqidah. So we seek an understanding in our deen. We strive to have fiqh in the deen. And we begin with that which is most important, first and foremost, and that is understanding shahadatain, and likewise everything that is contrary to that. So we continue our studies in the issue of nawaqid al-Islam, the invalidators or the nullifiers of al-Islam. And we have seen previously that the bonds of al-Islam, they can be untied, they can be undone, and that the shahada, it can become deficient. And likewise, that shahada, it can be removed entirely. Ayyadan billah. So therefore, from the greatest knowledge, to study and to learn not only the avenues of truth and the ways of goodness to apply them, but likewise the ways of falsehoods to stay away from them and to avoid them. Because as the Salaf, they used to say, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي, how can somebody stay away from something that he does not know how to stay away from, or that he does not even know what it is. And if somebody doesn't know what evil is and what shirk is and what the invalidators of Islam are, then maybe they will fall into them where they did not even perceive. And likewise, from the greatest fiqh in the deen and the greatest understanding in the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal is the understanding of the qawaid and the usool that this deen is based upon, and that are considered fundamental principles in the religion that many of the affairs of the deen they return back to. And from that, the ulama, they mention al-qawaid al-fiqhiyya. Al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya, the fiqh principles and the religious principles of jurisprudence and the understanding of the fiqh and the principles that the fiqh and the proper understanding and the deen is based upon. And likewise, from the many great principles in fiqh, there are five that are known as al-qawa'id al-kubra, al-khams, the five major principles of fiqh in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla that the people of knowledge have mentioned and clarified. And from those five, a very, very important principle that we discussed tonight, and it is related directly to the issue of Nawaqid al-Islam, and our topic that we discuss is the issue of at-takfir, and the ruling of declaring an individual to be upon disbelief and to be a disbeliever. And likewise, the rulings that would apply to that individual after that, that this affair is nothing light. And so the principle that is mentioned with regards to this is a great principle and has many benefits in it, and it is applied and understood in many aspects of the deen. But here, particularly with regards to the issue of declaring an individual to be a non-believer or a disbeliever, and that principle, it is al-yaqinu la yazulu bishak. Al-yaqinu la yazulu bishak. The principle that certainty is not removed by doubt. Certainty is not removed by doubt. If an individual has certainty about a particular issue in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, then that ruling is not removed because of doubt. And we have seen some of the details of this issue with regards to the, or we have seen some of the details of this principle with regards to the issue of Tahara in our studies of Umdat al-Ahkam and Fi Kitab al-Tahara and the likes like this, that a person, he has wudu, and if he's certain about that and then he doubts does he have wudu or not, then he's upon the origin that he has certainty of, and that is that he has wudu. And if a person was certain that he did not have wudu and then he doubted did he have wudu or not, then he will go with that which is certain. And we have seen some of the evidences for this in that chapter, but this is a principle that is known. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدُ الْيَقِينُ لَا يَزُورُ بِشَكْ الْيَقِينُ لَا يَزُورُ بِشَكْ بِشَكْ, that certainty is not removed by way of doubt. So therefore, it's very, very important to remember this principle and to understand this issue and to apply it in the affairs of takfir. And that is that the people of knowledge, they mention that whoever his Islam is established with certainty, من ثبت إسلامه باليقين فلا يزول عنه إسلامه إلا باليقين. So whoever his Islam is established with certainty, that ruling will not be removed except with certainty. So therefore, if somebody knows an individual and his Islam has been established and they know him to be a Muslim, then if one were to doubt later about that, is he still a Muslim or not? Then that ruling will not be removed because of doubt. Somebody may know that he's a Muslim and not see him for some time, and maybe they heard something about him but they're not sure, or maybe they're not sure, or they saw him doing something that is not from the ways of the believers, but then he would have doubt. Is he a Muslim or not? And I have doubt about so-and-so. I think maybe he's a hypocrite. Somebody may say that, or the likes like this. But here the principle is that if his Islam is established with certainty, meaning that at one time there's no doubt that that individual, he was from the Muslims and he was from our brothers and the likes like this, then doubt will not remove that ruling. And that ruling cannot be removed because of shirk, because of doubt or suspicion. But rather, the only way that that person's Islam could be removed and the ruling of disbelief could be applied to him specifically is if there are conditions that are fulfilled and the proof and evidence is established against him from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And likewise, there are things that must be removed that could prohibit the ruling from being applied to a specific individual. And this is what we discuss in these few introductory classes before we begin the text of Nawaqidh al-Islam, because of the importance of these affairs. And to declare a person to be a disbeliever, this is a legislative ruling. This is a legislative ruling. Therefore, it's not permissible for somebody to do that, or to speak about that without knowledge. Allah, he says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Do not transgress, or do not speak about something you have no knowledge of. Do not speak about something you have no knowledge of. And it's not permissible to speak about the affairs of the deen without knowledge. And from the affairs of the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal is the issue of a takfir, and to declare a believer to be a disbeliever, or to declare an individual who is Islam has been established to be a disbeliever. And there are conditions that must be fulfilled for this ruling to be applied to an individual. And likewise, there are affairs that are called mawani', things that will prohibit this ruling being applied from an individual. They must likewise be removed, along with the fulfillment of the conditions for that ruling to be applied to an individual. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا, that we will not punish a people until we send them a messenger. Until we send them a messenger. And it's known that the messengers, they came to establish the proof against the people. لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُولِ. Messengers have come, the proof of Allah has been established against the people. So therefore, those who the proof is not established against them clearly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will not punish them. He will not punish them. The punishment only comes after knowledge has reached them and after the clarification is clear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is just and He does not oppress anyone. And He does not punish a person until the establishment of the message has reached him and the knowledge has come to them. And then after that, they oppose the truth apparently. And they oppose the proofs, the truth and the evidence that has reached them stubbornly. At this time, the punishment will befall them. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. It has been mentioned by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, and this is in Majmu' al-Fatawa, and the volume number 12 on page number 501, for anyone who would like to refer to these statements, that he mentioned rahimahullahu ta'ala, فَلَيْسَ لِأَحَدٍ أَنْ يُكَفِّرَ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, that it is not the right of anyone to declare anyone from the Muslims to be a disbeliever. وَإِنْ أَخْطَأَ وَغَارِطَ, even if he made a mistake and was wrong or he erred. حَتَّى تُقَامَ عَلَيْهِ الْحُجَّةِ وَتُبَيِّنَ لَهُ الْمَحَجَّةِ, until the proof is established against him and the correct way has been clarified for him. It is not for anyone to declare any one of the believers, any one of the Muslims, to be a disbeliever, even if he made a mistake. And whenever Shaykh al-Islam, he's mentioning this, he is speaking clearly about the Sufiyyah and about the misguided sects with regards to the sifat and the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that they have made errors and mistakes, and they have mentioned creed and belief and statements that is actually disbelief. But he mentions along with that, although the statements that they have made are disbelief, but because they have a shubha, and because they have doubts, and because they have misunderstandings, and because they have misinterpretations of the book, while they have stated the shahada and believed in general, but they have been misled and misguided by ulama as-su and by the individuals of falsehood and the likes like this, so they have doubts. So therefore, he says it's not for anybody to declare anyone from the believers or from the Muslims to be a disbeliever, even if he made a mistake or erred, until the proof is established against him, and also until the correct way is made clear. Then he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَمَنْ ثَبَتَ إِيمَانُهُ بِيَقِينَ لَمْ يَزُولْ ذَلِكَ عَنْهُ بِالشِّكْ. That whoever his iman and his faith and his deen, the fact that he's a Muslim, a believer, that whoever's iman is established with certainty, this is not removed from him by way of doubt. بَلْ لَا يَزُولُ إِلَّا بَعْدَ إِقَامَةِ الْحُجَّةِ وَإِزَالَةِ الشُّبْهَةِ. But rather that faith and the fact that he is considered a Muslim will not be removed until the proof is established against him, and until the doubt and the misunderstanding has been removed. Until the doubt and the misunderstanding has been removed. And this is in accordance with what Allah has mentioned. وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. And we will not punish them until we send them a messenger. And the messengers, they come, عليهم الصلاة والسلام, clarifying the truth and establishing the evidence and removing the falsehood and the misunderstandings and doubts. After that knowledge is present and established, and now the people have a clear choice and they choose. And those who go right, alhamdulillah. And those who stubbornly rebel, then they are the ones that the punishment will befall them. Ayyadan billah. So with regards to at-takfir and to declare a person to be a disbeliever, this is a hukmun shar'i. This is the legislative ruling. So just like with regards to halal and haram, no one has the right to declare some action or something from the dunya to be halal, or some food to be halal, or to be haram, or a deed to be haram, or some type of affair from the worldly life to be haram. No one has the right to do this except for Allah Azza wa Jal. He is the one who declares that which is permissible and that which is impermissible alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, he has allowed the messenger to do that by his command. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has come declaring that which is halal and haram, but that was by the permission and the command of Allah. So in reality, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who declares that which is halal and that which is haram. So similarly like this, takfir, it is not allowed for individuals to speak about the affairs of takfir and declaring people to be disbelievers, except with the evidence and proof from the Quran and from the Sunnah. Except with the evidence and a proof, a correct proof and correct evidence clear from the Quran and from the Sunnah. Then likewise, barakallahu fikum, it must also be understood the difference between an action or a statement being described as disbelief, and the difference between that and the ruling of disbelief being applied to an individual. So the ulama, they make a difference with regards to this, and the people of knowledge, they have clarified this, and there are many evidences in the Quran and in the Sunnah with regards to this, and likewise in the biographies of as-salaf as-salih, that they would differentiate between the general statement that this action is disbelief, or that whoever says this statement, then this is a statement of disbelief, or whoever does this deed, then he has disbelieved, and he making it a general statement in this manner, and actually applying that ruling to an individual. They make a great difference with regards to this. Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he mentioned in his book, Al-Istiqamah. Al-Istiqamah, in this book, he mentions many of the affairs of takfir, and also he is refuting the people of falsehood and those who have made errors and mistakes in creed and in the likes like this. But he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he says, فَإِنَّ التَّكْفِيرَ الْمُطْلَقَ مِثْلُ الْوَعِيدِ الْمُطْلَقَ. That to have the general mention of takfir, or to declare a person to be a disbeliever, is similar to the general mention or the general of the threat of Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah, for example, Allah, he mentioned in his book, وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ. That whoever disobeys Allah and his messenger, then verily he will be abiding in the hellfire for eternity. Yani this is a general threat. But it is known likewise that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will pardon whomever He wills, and that whoever dies upon at-tawheed, then he even if he has major sins, his final destination and outcome will be mercy and forgiveness and pardon, and he will be from the people of paradise, even if he is punished first. So therefore, any similar like this, yani a general mention of takfir is like the general mention of the threat of the fire. So it's not applied directly to every individual the same. So he says, فَإِنَّ التَّكْفِيرُ الْمُطْلَقُ مِثْلُ الْوَعِيدِ الْمُطْلَقُ لَا يَسْتَلْزِمُ تَكْفِيرَ الشَّخْصِ الْمُعَيِّنِ حَتَّى تَقُومَ عَلَيْهِ الْحُجَّةِ, that this does not necessitate the disbelief of a specific individual until the proof is established against him. Until the proof is established against him. So therefore, just the fact that a person, he fell into disbelief by statement or by action, this does not necessitate that he is a disbeliever. Not everyone who falls into disbelief in deed or creed or in statement, the ruling of disbelief is applied to him directly and immediately, but rather the issue requires detail. This issue requires detailed information with regards to that individual specifically, because there are conditions that must be fulfilled before that ruling is applied to him individually, and likewise there could be issues that prohibit that ruling from being applied to him, like ignorance and the likes like this. And the people of knowledge, they have mentioned these affairs, and inshallah in these classes or in these introductory classes we will discuss them in brief detail, بإذن الله تعالى. So therefore, the general takfir, or the mention that these actions are disbelief, is similar to the general mention of the threat of the hellfire. But it does not necessarily, not everyone who falls into those actions that one is threatened with the hellfire, by way of them, doesn't mean that he will be in the hellfire. Maybe Allah will pardon him. Maybe Allah will forgive him. In Allah, لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَعَ. So likewise, not everyone who falls into disbelief, the ruling is applied to him directly, but rather there are details that must be determined and must be clarified with regards to an individual, and that ruling specifically to him. And this is not for the layman nor for the students of knowledge, but rather this is for the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge and have understanding of these affairs and have wisdom and they have experience with knowledge and the likes. So therefore, it must be known that before the ruling of a takfir can be applied to an individual, there are conditions that must be fulfilled, and likewise there are mawani' or things that could prohibit that ruling that must be removed. And from the greatest example of this in the life of As-Salaf As-Salih, we see Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. He died in the year 241, and he is also known with that great laqab and that great title that he is Imamu Ahl Sunnati wa Jama'ah, rahimahullah ta'ala. Him and his brothers from the scholars of hadith in their days, whenever they were tried by the people of innovation, and it was being spread with great force and with great authority from the rulers and the likes, the position that the people of innovation had taken against the scholars of hadith, and many of them were threatened with their life, even many of them were killed. And the people of hadith, they were harmed and they were imprisoned, and many of them were killed. And the likes like this, because they refused to follow the statement that the rulers had implied. And this is in reference to the issue that they had claimed that the Quran was created. And the scholars of hadith, and from the head of them, Imam Ahmad, they all mentioned and they agreed that this is a statement of disbelief to the statement of the Jahmiyyah that the Quran is the Quran is created. Al-Quranu makhluq, this is a statement of disbelief. And they did not differ about that. But with regards to declaring individuals who made that statement and who declared that corrupt and foul creed, they did not ascribe disbelief to them directly. And Imam Ahmad, he did not declare the Khalifa to be a disbeliever, even though he punished him and tortured him. And Imam Ahmad, he was tortured and he was whipped and he was imprisoned and he was harmed. And the likes like this, and along with that, and all of this was because he would not make that statement, rahimahullah, that the Quran is created. And they were making that statement, and they were trying to impose that statement on him with force. And he did not declare them to be disbelievers. Although not him nor any of the ulama of hadith in those days, none of them differed that that statement is a statement of disbelief. But with regards to applying it to them as individuals, then this is a different issue and a different ruling, because they had people of misguidance who were whispering to them and who were misleading them and who were using the evidences, the proofs wrongly and misguiding them, and they had shubuhat, and they had doubts and suspicions, and they had the wrong understanding and misunderstandings in the deen, and this was the reason for their belief in that false creed and the statement that they made. And they claimed that the Quran was created and as a statement of disbelief, and they did not the ulama of hadith did not disagree about that. But with regards to applying the ruling of takfir to those rulers and to those who followed that way from the believers, and specifically, they did not hasten to do that, and they did not declare them disbelievers because they had doubts and they had misunderstanding and they were ignorant of the proper creed. Therefore, they had an excuse, and no doubt they're upon misguidance, and no doubt they're upon a foul way. But as for declaring them as disbelievers, then this is another issue. And the statement, La ilaha illallah, is heavy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's not something light to declare someone who is, his Islam is established, who faces the Qibla, and who bows before Allah, and slaughters in the name of Allah, and follows the rites of Allah azza wa jalla, and the sunnah of the Prophet, and he outwardly, and then he has a misunderstanding, or he has been misled or misguided from the foul people of knowledge and the ulama as-su, and the likes like this, the ulama, they would not hasten to declare these individuals to be disbelievers. Rather, they would excuse them, and they would bear the harm that they faced from them. Like this, likewise, in later generations, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah himself, rahimahullah ta'ala, he would mention in his debates with the Asha'ira, and they would harm him likewise, and he himself was imprisoned, even he died in prison, rahimahullah ta'ala, because of his defense of the correct creed and aqidah, and the correct methodology, and the proper way of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he mentioned to them, and he said that if I said the statements that you say, I would disbelieve. But as for you, I do not declare you to be disbelievers because you have shubuhat in your hearts. You have misunderstandings and doubts in your hearts and in your minds. So therefore he excused them because of their shubuhat. And meaning that, and although many of them are making the statement of disbelief, and particularly with regards to creed, making the statements of disbelief, but he did not apply that ruling to them as individuals because there was something that prohibited them prohibited that ruling from being applied to them, and that is the shubha is present, and the misunderstanding, and the fact that they had misunderstood the evidences of the Quran and the Sunnah. Because misguided creed that the Quran is created, or for those who deny the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, or who misinterpret the attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, they believe in the Quran in general, but they have misinterpreted the Quran contrary, and they have fallen into statements of disbelief, but they believe in general. And it is because of their misunderstanding and because of their ta'wil al-fasid and the likes like this that they have fallen into these statements, not because they sincerely, truly disbelieve in this manner. So therefore, these type of individuals, the people of hadith and the people of knowledge, they excuse them with regards to this issue of a takfir, and they were not hasty in applying that ruling to them. And likewise, from the people of knowledge who have spoken about this and clarified this, and in recent history, alhamdulillah, Shaykh Uthaymeen, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and in his Majmu' al-Fatawa, he has spoken about these issues in a bit of detail and with much benefit, rahimahullahu ta'ala. And in volume 3, on page 52, he mentioned some of these issues. And he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, وَلَا بُدَّ فِي التَّكْفِيرِ مِنْ شُرُوطٍ أَرْبَعًا, that before takfir can be applied to an individual, there must be four conditions. There must be four conditions. And inshallah, in our next class, we will discuss these affairs and read from some of the benefits of Shaykh Uthaymeen with regards to these conditions of applying takfir to an individual. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.